Hey everyone, I am proud to tell you that the boys are finally back from their month-long vacation and has decided to join the workforce. And welcome Jose Pena. I had such a great line, I had to stop myself. Welcome Jose, what's up buddy?
What up, what up?
Josh Gurney.
Howdy.
Present. And the special guest for tonight.
Woo woo.
This episode is, so we've done interviews with myself, Jose, Nick, Jeremy, and now it's finally time to get Nicholas Bennett out of the way. Nick, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome back.
Glad to have you, dude.
Welcome back. So Nick's been gone for a little while. He caught a promotion at work, so he's been working hard. And we're glad to see that he's finally settled in and, he's made time for us today. Nick, congratulations on your promotion, buddy. Hope everything's going well there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So you guys are familiar with the industry. It's a work in progress. But
I believe that.
Director of culinary now?
I wish. I don't know if I want that type of title. I'll take the paycheck, though.
Hey, through the grapevine, I know we're going to get off topic real quick. I heard his new clam shack is just literally exploded and doing amazing.
Yeah, that everything down here is like whatever this man touches turns to gold. It's
his name now at this point, no?
Yeah, and he's got about two or three more projects in the works right now. So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, things are going to be interesting for a while.
Good for you.
It's unbelievable. Josh, how was your month-long vacation? Good?
It was fantastic.
I noticed that you haven't been going to the gym. Today was the first day back in like 2.5 weeks. You feeling okay?
Yeah. No, I mean, I got a pretty good head start on you. So I just want to let you do a little catching up. I'm just trying to maintain, you know.
You're trying to maintain. I'm trying to lose.
And I want to keep it interesting.
Oh, so you're going to keep checking me up until the final stretch and then you're going to pull away?
Well, we really haven't made any official deadlines other than our own personal deadlines, which for me is my 40th birthday.
Right.
So if you want to do that, if you just want to, I mean, we can do that separately offline.
So the problem with your birthday, it's the day after Christmas. And, you know, typically on Christmas, both of our families pig out.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to look our best.
Christmas Eve, too. Yeah, it's hard. It's probably not going to be much around that date, but leading up to it, at least.
23rd. Yeah.
What's that?
Do it on the 23rd.
The 23rd? We could do that, or just, you know, we'll figure it out. We got a couple months.
Celebrate freely.
That's right. And Jose, your month and a half vacation went well?
I had 5 days, and it was great. Yes, got to the mountains in New Hampshire and played some golf and had a lot of beverages and gained half of the weight that I lost back. Yep. It was awesome.
Yeah, but you did very well with not drinking, right?
It was like a 6 weeks. So. It didn't even bother me. It was good. God. Yeah, it was 6 weeks. It was fine.
And now you're back to being an alcoholic. I love it.
Yeah, Woodford kept calling me, and here we are.
Here we are. So big news coming up on next Sunday. So we're recording this episode. It airs today, Thursday the 10th, I believe. Thursday the 10th of September. And then we have a week and a half, and then episode 100 will drop the 19th of September. I believe that's the date. No, 20th of September. And then we're back to our regularly scheduled programming, which will be every Thursday and Sunday. Just as some fact that we're not recording 100 until we can all get together with our masks on and celebrate properly. So we will be doing social distancing, and I'll make sure I bring enough microphone wire to keep us 6 feet apart.
No, we all have to get COVID tested. I'm not wearing a mask. Everybody gets COVID tested, and they bring a certification. I'm so tired of wearing a mask. I don't want to be that guy.
You have no idea.
Wearing a mask 50 plus hours a week, dude. And then
that's
wearing
so
a mask
annoying.
At the gym. I'm so tired of it, dude.
I carry a small to go box with like six masks because I forget to like I just like yeah. I have them going all the time.
Yeah, you gotta have them.
Yeah, I have one.
I believe it's the right thing to do. I'm just tired of it. And I know.
Hey, We're off topic.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about the man of the hour.
Let's go. We're off topic.
Nicholas Bennett, this is all about you, baby. And just to give you a warning, like everyone else, there will be rapid fire at the end.
Yeah.
So let's get a solid 25 to 30 minutes in, and hopefully we don't embarrass you, and hopefully you don't divulge any information on accident.
At this point, I'm an open book, so by all means, man, they ain't shit embarrassing me.
All right, let me start with a random question. Well, no, you know what? Let's just start from the beginning. Nick, everyone wants to know, because if you don't know Nick, or if you know Nick, you know, he's not an open book unless you're his close friend. You know, he keeps to himself with his personal information. So hopefully we can open you up a little bit. But I'd like to speak about your childhood and your family. You know, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of five. I have three sisters and a baby brother.
He's not such a baby. He's a grown man.
I mean, to me, he's always my baby brother.
He's a better softball player than you are. That's for damn sure.
Not accurate.
He's better all around.
So you were born in New York?
Yeah, born in Manhattan, raised in Brooklyn, lived in the Bronx, and then migrated up north to Connecticut. Ended up in Rhode Island, and then
met
you fellas in Mass. I didn't know you until Mass, so I wouldn't really claim that. And nobody boasts about Pawtucket.
Not a single person.
So we have Brooklyn, Manhattan, some town in Connecticut, the greatest state in the Union, Rhode Island, and now you've lived in a couple different cities in Massachusetts. Where's your favorite place that you've lived so far?
Out of everywhere,
Brooklyn. Yeah.
Obviously, there's really no comparing.
You're also from Jamaica. Let's start with that. Like, your family's from Jamaica.
My family is Jamaican. I am first generation American.
Let's start there.
Been back to Jamaica a few times. I don't know if I'd live there. It's crazy out there, but definitely one of my favorite vacation spots. But yeah, Brooklyn, the energy in Brooklyn, the atmosphere, the lifestyle, the livelihood, everything. There's really no place like it.
There's never any place like home.
Yeah.
According to Dorothy. Let's talk about your career path. Cause right now you're an executive chef for a really fast up and coming concept or company, I should say. Mm-hmm. What was if you have questions in between, that's fine. You know, if I'm skipping ahead, you guys want to interrupt me, that's cool. But I know when you and I first met, before I went to that company, you were a front of the house manager and then decided to make the leap into the kitchen. And that's when your career really excelled into where you are today, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of. So I went to UConn, as has been stated numerous times.
Shout out UConn.
Throughout various episodes. And I didn't really, I'll be honest, I didn't take college all that seriously. I think it was more of my father's plan than it was mine. So I actually got a grant and partial scholarship to go to Connecticut Culinary in Hartford, Connecticut. So I graduated from there with my degree in culinary arts. And then, so the kitchen was, you know, the plan until my previous company, I just kind of had this feel that I wanted to try everything out. You know, the front of the house seemed like it was less stressful, but obviously I give each and every one of you guys your kudos after kind of dealing with that for a little bit. I just wanted to give it a try. So yeah, I did everything for the last concept. I obviously started as a cook. I was a supervisor, became a opening chef trainer. I was a server. And then I my first promotion was as a front of house manager, as a restaurant manager, and tried that for a year. And I don't think it clicked the way that I thought it would. So my natural progression was to go back into the kitchen. And like you said, it was kind of took off from there. But I might give the front of house another try someday.
Well, you have the looks, you have the charisma, you have the gift of gab. You can do it. It's perfect for you.
Don't do it.
Lenny, you have
get out while you can.
Lenny, you have proven that looks do not matter in the front of house. To this day, I still have regulars come in. I had regulars come in today that were talking about you. They're like, oh, our food was cooked wrong, and Lenny turned us into regulars for life. We used to order the chop steak, and he always knew.
Yeah, it's because Lenny went to the table.
Trust me, it's not about the looks.
Lenny went to the table and was like, wait, what's wrong? Your water's not cold enough? The whole check is on me. Don't worry about it. The whole thing.
You guys get a discount for the rest of your life. It's all
on me. You got the Lenny discount. The Pawtucket discount, 100%. Don't worry.
What they say, hey, you make friends now, you make money later.
Thank you, Nick. That's Lenny's mentality. Yeah, ask Josh as he's reaping the benefits 7 years later.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, not if he's still paying for their checks.
those are few and far between, but literally I did have like a 15-minute conversation today with somebody that was like passionate about how Lenny corrected their experience. And I mean, I literally have seen these people a number of times over the past 10 years, and still today they're asking me if Lenny was, have you seen Lenny around? I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Hey, this
looks not the looks.
It's not the looks. I know.
It's not the looks, and it's not the ability to draft a fantasy team. I know that.
You know, I'm going to post my fantasy team online. I'm going to take a poll because this is some bullshit the way you guys are treating me tonight.
Nick, if you weren't in the kitchen or in restaurants, I know we've had this discussion before. I don't want you to say what you told me. What else would you be doing besides cooking and in hospitality if you weren't in hospitality?
I thought that was a setup.
I know the real answer. I know the real answers. If people want to know the real answer, they should slide into Lenny's DMs. I'll tell him, and then he'll be able to tell you. But what would you be doing if you weren't a chef?
They could all just slid into my DMs. Why would you tell them to go to Lenny?
I'm trying to help him out.
Trying to help us out.
Honestly, I think it would either have to. So the biggest part of being a chef that I appreciate the most, like obviously I'm passionate about food, but it's actually the coaching and like mentoring. So I think whatever I would do outside of that would have to have something in that for me. So whether it be like I'd love to do like sports management or get into coaching for, you know, sports, basketball primarily. Or youth. Something with the youth, something with counseling, something with mentoring. There's so many different things to choose from. So I can't really say what I would do definitively, but I know that I just want to make an impact on people's lives and the next generation if I could.
Hey Nick, so Josh and I, like we spoke about earlier, we're in this fight for 40. Whoever's gonna, you know, we're in a battle with each other to see who's going to look their best when we turn 40. He turns 40 in December. Yeah. I turn 40 in April. You know, I'm doing fantastic. Josh is struggling with everything. And I know that you used to be a little unhealthier than you are now. Is there any advice you can give Joshua so he can kind of, you know, see some progression in his training to help him get down to how you are now?
If my memory serves me correctly, Josh has already done amazing in his weight loss journey.
This is unfucking believable.
If I think in conjunction with this picture or with this episode, you should probably post the pictures of our journeys. And I feel like Josh's journey is probably no, Jose.
Give me a couple weeks.
Jose wants no part of it.
Yeah, no. Josh's journey is just as jarring as mine, but as Lenny alluded to, at one point in time, I was north of probably 333 pounds. At some point, I just realized that it wasn't even like a health thing or whatever. It was just I wasn't happy with life, and these were certain aspects of life that I was unhappy with. And the weight kind of just came as a byproduct of it because I'm 6'4", so it never really stood out to me how big I actually was. People would always ask me, like, what did you do? What did you do? What did you do? And my biggest thing, and I tell everybody, I gained all the weight in college. And to lose all the weight, I did everything that my mother told me to do before I left for college that I stopped doing as soon as I got to college. So when I got to college, I used to, I mean, besides the partying and the drinking and the eating constantly, lack of sleep, I drank no water, everything. It was like a full life change. I cut out red meat. It took me a while, but I cut out chicken at one point. It was kind of just fish, a lot of veggies, a lot of greens, just an overall healthier diet. I was in the gym 6 days a week. I'd play ball 3 days. I'd lift 3 days and rest 1 day a week. I cut out all sugary drinks, no more soda. I was addicted to iced tea, like literally addicted. I would shake if I went about like an hour without any kind of iced tea in my system. So all I would drink was water unless I was drinking. And everything kind of just changed for me. And it wasn't until I got to know you guys that I learned what intermittent fasting was and realizing I was kind of doing it myself, but then like listening to you guys, I kind of tightened up and realized like what the true benefits and regimen behind it was. So yeah, I mean, it's funny, like it's really just a life change. People who do diets and like all the fads and things like that, the results don't last, which we've talked about. And you guys got to make the changes for your life and do what feels good and do it consistently. So I think Josh is fine. I actually think Josh is probably gonna wipe the floor with you. He seems to have that little quiet confidence to him.
Okay.
He knows what he's talking about.
All right.
Nick's a smart guy. I've always thought so.
Listen, I'm the Conor McGregor of this weight loss competition. I'm gonna talk shit and talk shit and talk shit.
Didn't Conor lose his last fight?
Wait.
Okay. All right. So, to you.
When is that changed? You've always done that. Why all of a sudden now?
And then And then when we step into the octagon, I give Josh a jab, 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 right hook, and it's over. The competition's over.
Terrible reference.
It's the fight for 40. It's the fight for 40, not the coddle for 40. It's a wrap. Josh knows it. That's why he doesn't have any rebuttals.
I'm cool, collected.
Josh, do you have any questions for Nicholas?
Well, he kind of already answered the question about the what makes him love the restaurant business. And then, you know, I would have asked him, you know, what else would he be doing if it wasn't for the restaurant business? And, you know, we're all the same when it comes to wanting to help people. Nick, what in your life do you think has driven you towards wanting to help people one way or another, whether it's coaching or, you know, taking people under your wing? Is there a mentor in your life that has kind of taught you that? Is it religion? Is it spirituality? Is it mom? Like what makes you tick that way?
Nick, I won't blush. I won't blush. You can say me. It's fine.
Josh, that's probably one of the best questions. And the one that would allow me to get, I guess, the kind of deepest. So, you know, I think Lenny and Jose probably know a little bit of a good amount of my past. You know, we've opened up over, you know, various drinks over times. So I think what kind of inspired me or like is my driving factor to want to be a difference in other people's lives is the fact that, you know, I have a good amount of loss in my past. People that I feel like should have been there for me throughout my life, throughout my childhood, throughout my upbringing, kind of abandoned me. And now don't get it twisted. I had a very, very, very good life thanks to my father and his side of my family. I'm currently estranged from my biological mother's side of the family. I think all the pain and, you know, trials and tribulations that kind of came along with that aspect of my youth and into my adolescent and early adult years, it was kind of my driving force to feel like I wanted to be a more positive factor and influence in the people who chose to have me in their lives. And then, you know, growing up, you know, my siblings, you know, Reagan, Rihanna, and Rupert, they're 10, 12, and 14 years younger than me. It always kind of stuck out to me that I always wanted to be a big brother. And then kind of when I when they came along, I was obviously older and finishing high school, getting into college, and it kind of killed me that I didn't have the ability to kind of have that, you know, traditional big brother relationship with them. So I kind of, throughout time, adopted, you know, little brothers and little sisters and mentees, just to kind of, you know, I guess fill that void until I could then build that relationship with my siblings, which is amazing now. So yeah, it's kind of been a myriad of things that have fed into, you know, that just desire of, you know, fulfilling these certain voids. I think I'm just naturally a giver and someone who wants the best for people. And at times it was to a fault, and I would give myself up more than I should have. But I'm learning that balance. But yeah, I feel like I probably bounced around a little bit in that answer. But yeah, that I think that answers the question.
That's a great answer.
For the most part.
That's a great answer.
Thank you.
Nicholas, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Listen, I don't want to divulge your relationship status right now or anything like that. But what I want to know is, what type of female or male or whatever you're into, do you look for?
My relationship status is single.
Ladies, you heard that right?
Happy to say it. what kind of lady do I look for? So, you know, it's funny, and, you know, I used to get a lot of slack when I said it, but, you know, whatever, I don't really care anymore. I'm relatively shallow.
We appreciate the honesty.
It's funny because that's actually part of my leading conversation when I meet new women. Like, I let them know off the bat, like, I'm a relatively shallow individual. I love beautiful women. I love confidence in a woman, which I think can actually give her, you know, we're using that point scale, you know, confidence gives points. I just want a woman, or I look for in women, people who are, you know, kind and compassionate, obviously all the generic answers. But what really like sets me off is, one, you have to look beautiful on the outside and inside, but I like personality. A woman who kind of just bases it all off of her looks and can't really hold a conversation, or, you know, I like to cut on people, you know what I mean? Obviously our relationship is built off of kind of going back and forth on each other. Like, I want to be able to do that with my girl, you know, just sit back, laugh, enjoy, you know, the time. I want to be able to have her hold me accountable. I hold her accountable. Yeah, I've talked to, I've dated, I've been with, you know, careful, any and every type of woman that you could really think of. Chose my words carefully. So yeah, you know, I'm open-minded to anything, but I really just look for people who are going to add to the experiences that I'm living in, and help open up new experiences that we can enjoy together.
That might have been the most politically correct
answer.
No, he said he was shallow. He said he needed a girl to be a smoke show, but also she's going to have some shit going on. She's going to add. I don't think that was politically correct at all. I mean, plus, there's a lot of women that are going to be watching, listening to this episode.
That's true.
He wanted me to say whether or not I was an ass guy or a tits guy.
Right. Blondes, brunettes, redheads type thing, you know.
Yeah. And again, I was pretty open when I said I've talked to, dated, interacted with, you know, the whole gamut. There's really, I'm open-minded to anything. But again, even if you have it all going on and you lack the confidence and you don't see it in yourself, it doesn't really hold the same weight. And to be honest, I think I was an ass guy for the longest time.
There we go.
And now I just like the body to balance out, to be honest. I mean, if your ass is nice and you got little tits and everything else is proportionate, more power to you, boo. You just got to know how to dress properly and pull it all together. Oh, that's there another big thing. She has to know how to dress. She has to know how to dress.
Yeah, I know how you dress, and she has to keep up.
What if she wore Reeboks?
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker for everyone.
I don't know the last person I saw wear Reeboks outside of Lenny. Like, I couldn't even tell you what a pair of Reeboks looks like.
They got the little pump on the tongue. Like, D. Brown would wear them. D. Brown was wearing them. He would pump them up. Then he'd run up and he'd dunk. I think that was like 1993.
They look remember good who D. Brown is.
Hey, I know Jose's watching the Celtics in the background right now.
Air quote, they fall off the truck in Pawtucket. That's why Lenny gets them so cheap. Celtics are... Losing in case you're wondering, by four.
They're always on the sales rack when Lenny goes into the store. That's why.
Oh my goodness.
He's like in Cheers. Like he goes to Rentham and he walks into the Rentham outlets and Reebok and they're like, Lenny! He's like one of the five people that walk in that store.
Hey, true story. That's so. You know why I'm laughing so hard? Because I go there today. I buy the sneakers I wanted for work. I go to Adidas to go look for something. The Reebok had maybe 15 people in it. Adidas had a line out the door. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my God, Nick, let's get back on topic here. Enough about me today. This is about you.
Yes, the Celtics lost.
Oh, good. Game sevens are good for everybody. Nick,
game sevens are good for everybody.
If you could, in a couple sentences, or take however long you want, this show's about you, explain to our lovely listeners out there your ideal first date.
Ideal first date. You know what's crazy is that, I hadn't been... My relationship status was complicated for the entire duration of this show, right? And it wasn't until recently that I actually started giving more thought to dating and, you know, what that life kind of entails. And I'm kind of realizing that, like, you know, I kind of grew up in a time frame where, you know, it was just basic dinner and a movie. That was, hey, you took them out to a good movie and, you know, you found a really nice restaurant to eat. And, hey, you was probably guaranteed to get some that night. You know, I thought these ways when I was younger. You know, I've thus grown. You know, I want to get to know a woman mentally, and spiritually, and emotionally first.
Mm-hmm.
Politically correct, right? That's what I was. Okay.
Very good.
Honestly, I realized, and I think Lenny, you actually touched on this when you guys talked about the dating episodes. I don't really want to go anywhere where there's anything else that's going to really take the attention directly off of us being able to interact with each other. So the movies is kind of out for me. I think the movies is kind of a cop-out first date, you know, altogether. I want something that's going to actually force me to interact with you so I can actually get a good gauge of who you are as a person. You know, if it's something that I can, like, you know, I think one thing I've never been to that seems like a good time is the wine and paint nights where you kind of, you know, everybody has to get in the room together and they set those up. I want to be able to tell you that your picture looks like you drew it with your toes, and I want to see how you respond to that, you know, so I get a good vibe of what the base of this relationship would be. But honestly, man, I've been looking around, like, I saw somebody fucking do a picnic in a hot air balloon. I was like, wow, that'd be fucking amazing, because if you piss me off, I'll push you right over the side, like, and then
here's the deal with that. How do you top it? Date number two, how do you top it? You can't.
No, that's ridiculous. It, honestly, but also that's the other side of it, because I've also, so there was this meme circulating, and I think it's been around for a while. I've probably seen it like pop up on my timeline probably a dozen times, where it's like, it's a pickup truck with like rope lights, you know, around the barrier of it, there's pillows and a comforter inside the bed of the truck, you know, and I think it's like, whatever, Chinese or something. And it's like, ladies, would you like this as a first date or something like that. And a woman who says no to that, that's not a woman that I really want to deal with. You know what I mean? And
right.
if that's a second date, I think that's a great second date. I think that's an amazing second date. That's you and that person. You could set up the radio and listen to great music. You can look at the stars. You can put a board game in the board. Like, it's so versatile. I think that any date that, again, allows me to gauge you as a person, your personality, like your sense of humor, even if we, you know, the conversation took a sexual turn, your sexuality, anything like that, that legitimately allows me to just focus on you with something else as a stimulus, or a stimulant, that's an ideal first date to me. And I really think that it can be anything, but you know, that the generic, you know, dinner and a movie and all that, I think that time is dead for me, which I think is growth. Honestly, I was dating this young lady recently, and she set up a picnic in her backyard.
Whoa.
Put out a blanket, pillows. She bought sushi, two bottles of wine, brought a speaker outside. The night was amazing.
It's dynamite.
Night,
ladies should be listening to that type of stuff. The ladies that are listening to this episode should listen to that type of shit.
Honestly, her thing was, it actually happened right after her birthday, and you know, I'd kind of, you know, going out on my way to try to make sure that her birthday was enjoyable, at least to me. And it was actually like a thank you from her. It was a thank you for, you know, my efforts to. So a man deserves to be wine and dine and wants to feel good too.
Absolutely, again, it sounds like she did it right.
Simple. She didn't have to take me nowhere. I pulled up to her house in jeans and J's and everything. She was like, I told you to come comfortable. And I was like, I am comfortable. She was like, no, you're it's too much. I was like, this is amazing. That's fine by me.
Jose, you have a question?
First statement, Celtics lost in overtime by 3. Double overtime by 3. It's jerks. So game 7 will probably be Friday night. Marcus Smart wants to start a fight. So, Nick, I have two questions, actually, that I need you to think about. Mm-hmm. Being in the current state that you are in your current job,
mm-hmm.
three people you'd want to cook for, or four, I guess, a full table, four people you'd want to cook for, and then if you were to have dinner with three people at a Four Top, you and three others, dead, live, famous, or family members, or whoever, who would it be? Because you missed that episode, so we need to get that. We need to hash that out.
Got a boy, Jose. Now you're using your head.
Who are you cooking for a party of four? And we know who the three would be: me, Josh, Lenny, and Jeremy. But four other people, and then who would you sit down and eat dinner with? At another Four Top.
All right. So who would I want to cook for?
Besides the three present people and Jeremy.
I got you, because that was going to be my answer. So
I know.
Thanks for taking that away from me.
You're welcome. That stuffed pork chop that you made at Joe's that first year I was there for Father's Day, I appreciate that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I don't even remember these things because they just come up with, like, I just.
I still have it.
What I want to cook for that's a really good question, because you know,
if you say LeBron, I'm signing off.
I've never thought about it like that, because it's crazy. Throughout my culinary career, I've you know, at one point in time, or the intro to my culinary career after culinary school, I worked in Newport, Rhode Island, which you guys are familiar with, is very affluent, and it's the demographic of people that you meet down there is honestly insane. So just working through those restaurants, I would hear celebrities would come into the building, and I wouldn't even, a good portion of them, I didn't know who they were, because they weren't on the shows that I watched growing up, but everybody else would lose their minds when they would come in. At one point in time, I got to cook for the Celtics, which was pretty dope, because they train in Newport. Honestly, man, I don't know. It's funny because, you know, I can't pick anybody in my family because my family is, they are the hardest critics ever. I remember when I first got out of culinary school and, you know, I tried to cook. I was like, oh my God, I know, I learned all these things and I'm gonna show you all these things that you guys never heard of, X, Y, and Z. I put a plate down in front of my aunt. She was like, you paid all this money to go to school to learn how to do this? My heart broke. Like, in front of my cousins, they all started laughing. I was like, yeah, I'm never cooking for you guys again. But, wow. I don't, honestly, Jose, that I think that question stumped me. I think that question stumped me. So, you know what? I'm gonna go to the second question. I'm gonna answer the second question first. Who would I want to be at a table with? Me and three others, correct? That was the question.
Dead or alive, yeah. Famous or not. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go Jay-Z, first and foremost. Young Hope. Mm-hmm. I think I would go Bob Marley.
Oh, okay.
As the second. I think I'm gonna throw my dad into the mix.
Okay.
To kind of see. So my dad's always kind of been that, he's always been that, like, I don't say unicorn, but my dad inhibits a lot of the traits that I've looked up to as a man. And he's kind of just been that, like, he's like this mythical being who, like, I couldn't beat him in an argument if I tried. I think me and my dad used to play chess when I was growing up, and I think I stalemated him once, and that was my accomplishment.
You know, jewel,
against,
yeah,
my dad. And I think me and my dad played basketball against each other once, and he beat me, like, right before I hit my growth spurt. And I hit my growth spurt, he was like, I'm never playing you again. Because he knew I carried that fire from that first time he beat me. But now I kind of want to see how my dad would stack up against some of, like, the greatest minds and, you know, spiritually influential people that, you know, we know to date. I think that would be a dope conversation. I don't even think I would talk. I think I would legitimately just sit there and listen and pretty much try and absorb any and everything that would come out of their mouths. So that's my dinner party for four. Okay. Who would I cook for? You know what? And, you know, I don't know. You know, this actually just came to mind. It's a difficult time, as we all know, dealing with the pandemic. But, you know, for people of color right now, it's also kind of a double down, you know. We've watched, obviously over the years, we've seen a lot of, you know, a lot of dark times and a lot of anger and hatred, you know, directed towards people of color. But throughout this past, I don't even know if there's an actual timeline that we could reference, but, you know, since all the protests have began and, you know, we've seen so much more things come to light, I would gladly cook for the families of any of the people lost through, you know, everything that's going on through the police brutality and the racial injustices, anything like that, because, you know, if there's anyone who just needed, you know, love and support and just wanted to feel some kind of peace and comfort, which is really, like, one of my driving factors behind why I'm in this business. I think that there's no people or families deserving of that, you know, right now than those families who are still grieving, you know, the losses of their loved ones and fighting for, you know, justice and just the recognition of, you know, the position that we're at right now. So yeah, that's who I'd gladly cook for at this time.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen you stumped before and you openly admitted it.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Gentlemen, Jose or Josh, do you have any other questions before we jump into rapid fire?
I'll save my questions for rapid fire.
Josh?
I don't. It's all rapid fire shit.
Okay, great. I'll start first. Nick, what is your most prized possession?
Boy, Jordan 1s.
My I'd have to say right now my Space Jams, because they were my favorite sneaker growing up, and I thought I'd never get them. And once I got those, that was probably one of the best days for me.
Wow.
Jose?
LeBron or Mike, who are you starting a team with?
LeBron James.
Oh, I'm shutting this. I'm shutting my computer off. Bullshit.
Pop your tea.
What was that?
Pop your tea.
Oh, tea. I don't drink coffee.
At all. You don't drink coffee. I think you've said that before. All right.
One place pizza, in the world. One place
pizza
in the
or
world.
Pasta? No way. Right. I get another question. You do, he doesn't you drink do. Coffee.
Okay.
Pizza.
Pizza or Chinese food?
I think it's still pizza.
Wow.
Really? I have a weakness for pizza. I really don't. I don't know why.
I have a weakness
for Chinese food.
No. I ate a whole pepperoni pizza today.
I had spare ribs and pork fried rice yesterday, so I feel your pain.
It's supposed to be rapid fire. Keep going.
One place in the world that you want to go that you've never been?
Puerto Rico. The Maldives. Wow. What?
Wow. The Maldives.
I said Puerto Rico. But
Maldives, I know what you too. Said.
Favorite color?
Blue.
One car you want to own before you die?
Ooh, there goes mine.
Shit. I really want a Camaro. I don't know why. I want a
really?
Camaro. I want a drop top Camaro for some reason. I really don't know why. I've looked at all the
Nobody knows.
Supercars and everything like that. First off, I'm not fitting in them. Second of all, I don't know. They all just something that looks beautiful to eye. That's, you know, I want a Camaro.
One famous person knocks on your door. Who do you want it to be on the other side?
Will Smith.
What? I meant female, but okay.
Why does Jada do him like that? What is up with Jada? Anyway.
It's that open door policy. You know, the general managers.
I think
that open door policy.
He's hurt. She's doing him wrong.
Yeah, Nick, that was
where are your ashes being spread?
Good question.
Brooklyn.
Nah, they would just stomp all over me.
Yeah.
It's rapid fire, Nick.
Sweep that into the
sewer. I know. I'm sorry. You ask these questions, they're great fucking questions. Honestly, I don't want them spread throughout any like area in particular. I would like for each one of my siblings to have a part of it. Just to keep me with them always.
Okay, that's a great answer. Then I guess what I was really looking for was what's the most beautiful place you've ever been?
Ever been? Jamaica.
Really, Acton, Massachusetts.
It seems kind of I didn't get out of there fast enough.
Westboro.
There's nowhere. I mean, it seems kind of biased, but Jamaica's the most beautiful place I've ever been.
One person to cook you one meal before you go.
Jose Pena.
Wow.
Me?
Dinner at the Pena's, man. Because it comes with so much.
I hope you enjoy pepperoni pizza. I'm gonna get the best pepperoni pizza of your fucking life.
Nick, Tyra Banks or Gisele Bündchen?
Oh God, that's easy.
Will you be mad at me if I tell you I don't know who Gisele Bündchen is?
Tom Brady's wife.
Oh, Tyra Banks.
Yeah, okay. Easy.
All day.
Easy peasy.
Said Gisele, that's who I thought, but the last name just didn't really register. You should have just let that Gisele.
Love that.
Guys, continue, anything please. Else for him?
No?
PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox.
Wow.
I'm an Xbox guy.
iPhone or Android?
Oh.
He's an iPhone. That's easy.
iPhone, yeah. I knew Jose was going to just say something angrily about it.
Hey, football, baseball, or hockey?
Football.
What book would you recommend to any of your best friends? Any book.
Wow. Honestly, all right, so I deal with, you know, we talked about, I deal with depression and anxiety. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. He's a radio personality named Charlemagne the God.
Mm-hmm.
His book, Shook Ones, that's the beginning of it. Shook Ones, My Anxiety's Killing Me, something like that. I'll get the exact title for you guys. Just listening to that, and he brings in a lot of professional help. It was one of the books that kind of touched me the most, and kind of like, when you see how big this man has gotten, obviously now he has his own podcast and everything that he's been through, but you hear like the humble beginnings and, you know, things that really resonated with me. That's one book that I recommend to someone who just wants to, one, feel like they have purpose, one who feels like they've come from nothingness and don't really see how to get to that point, and really tackling all the things that can kind of come along with that process of building you up. Anxiety and depression and no jokes, and they can really consume a person and make it difficult to navigate out of it. And I do think that book, especially last year, kind of helped me through this process.
Awesome. Do you still use Tinder?
No, I do not.
What was your favorite Top Shelf episode?
I honestly think it has a favorite place in my heart. I think it was good guys versus bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will always have a good place in my heart, because at that point in time, we solidified that Lenny was the bad guy. it's solidified in the airwaves, so there's no denying.
It was. It's out there for life.
Favorite song.
Favorite song.
Gun to your head right now.
Good question.
4, 3, 2, 1. Favorite song.
Wow. Wow.
Damn it, too much. Rapid fire.
Hey, come on. All right.
Boo.
Wait. First off, I listened to you guys' episode on the rapid fire questions.
Yeah. Not this guy. I had all the answers. This guy spit fire.
I really don't have an answer to that.
Biggie or Pac?
Biggie. Come on, man. You know the answers to these questions.
The rest of the listeners don't. The listeners don't.
From Brooklyn.
Favorite movie of all time?
Bad Boys 1 and 2.
I'm like Lowry. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. My spirit animal right there.
Mike Lowry or Martin Lawrence?
Mike Lowry is the spirit animal.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you guys got for him.
I really can't come up with a favorite song. Too many things hit my head at one time.
More money, more problems.
Yeah, no. I haven't reached that level of success yet. I'm trying to get like you guys.
Favorite GM, Westboro or Acton?
Oh, my God.
Josh, I've heard you've been doing a great job.
Wow.
Lenny, he just didn't want to hurt your feelings.
That's okay. I knew the answer. I knew the answer since it came out of your mouth.
Disney World or Universal? Universal.
The Hulk is a great ride. The Hulk is fantastic.
I haven't been to either.
Back to the Future is fantastic as well.
So what, Lenny, you taking us to Disney for episode 200?
Oh, my God. If we get to 200 without one of us killing someone else in this group, yes.
Right. So we can kill someone else.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, we just have to wait till episode 201. Fine.
I'll stand on trial and just say that you guys were, you know, not mentally healthy, and I'll defend you. That's it for rapid fire questions. That's it for Nicholas Bennett. That's it for episode 99. I'm sorry for the Celtics. I'm sorry ahead of time for Josh losing the fight for 40. I'm sorry for anyone who does not wear the most comfortable, affordable shoe in the world, Reebok. And I'm also sorry.
Affordable, it's $15 a pair.
$15. Oh, my God. And I'm also sorry for any Tom Brady fans out there. You have rooted 20 years for the most overrated quarterback of all time. I love you guys. Any parting words?
Fantastic. It's great to have you back, Nick. Back in the
good
fold.
To have you back.
Stick around, brother. Stick around.
I'm here.
Good. So, again, programming update. We'll be back September 20th with our number 100th episode, and it's going to hopefully be epic because we're going to be all in the same room together for the first time in 8 months. So let's make it happen. He is Jigaman 313.
Get the COVID test.
Yeah, Jigaman 3131, Josh G 1226, and he is Big Nick the Chef. That's D A. Why?
Cause.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Snapchat. Snapchat's my name, so we'll just stick with Instagram for now on. It's Be the Top Shelf. I love you all. Have a great night.
Love you.
Night.
Boo boo kitty.
Boo boo kitty. It's still recording. Don't say anything ridiculous.
Patriots suck.
Thank you for enjoying this episode of The Top Shelf. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Our music was created by Slater. That's SLDR_music. And as always, have an amazing day.